Welcome to One Man's Opinion, brought to you by the Elite Fantasy, Fantasy Guru, and EliteSportsBetting.com. And now, here's your host, Jeff Manns.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving week, happy holiday season. This is One Man's Opinion. Thank you, one and all, for downloading. Thank you for tuning in, listening in, and making this part of your day, your holiday weekend, whatever, whenever you may be listening. Maybe you're at work or school or on the road or at grandma's house. It don't matter. This is One Man's Opinion, episode number 183. Thanksgiving, everybody. That is the holiday of the week. Hopefully you guys had a very enjoyable and safe and sound and happy holiday week. It's football time, though. We got Thanksgiving Day games. Maybe you're listening to this before those three games. Maybe you're listening to them after. Either way, I got you covered over the next about 60 minutes. This one will probably be a little short. If you are new to the podcast, remember this is an uncensored program. I say the naughty words. I also talk about race, religion, politics, you know, not outwardly, not trying to, but I'm going to talk like human beings talk. And we're not going to play that game of everybody's a victim and you can't talk about other things. So I also say swear words. So no kids or sensitive eardrums, put your noise canceling headphones on or hearing aids or AirPods, whatever it may be. My name is Jeff Manns, by the way. You hear me weekday afternoons on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87. I host a show called Elite Sports over on that network and that platform. I'm also part owner and the chief content officer at fantasyguru.com. Kind of oversee a lot of the day-to-day over there and the content and the things and everything that's going on. Speaking of what's going on, $100 rest of season, seasonal, daily betting. NFL and college football, they're both combined, $100 purchase price. It is there for the taking, everybody. So get over there to fantasyguru.com. It's the largest active community in all of fantasy sports. So I encourage you to get over there. How much is it worth to you to win your league this year? How much is it worth to win DFS? Do you want to win your membership plus five times that? You should be able to, even with the 11 plus weeks that are available to you, plus college football. That should be no problem. And then the betting side of it as well, as I had a really good start to the season, 3-week downturn, and the last week plus has been profitable and well above 500. I'm 8 games over 500 in the last week. So starting to roll, it's starting to come together, and I've never had a losing season in my life. So in betting or in DFS, I have, but it's been a minute, been like 9 years. So get over there, check that out. If you are a current member over at fantasyguru.com and you want to be there for hockey season, NBA season that are in full effect, remember, I start going full bore around Christmas Day for the NBA. I'm doing Wednesday bets as it stands, but we've got a great team of Justin Fensterman, Armando Marsal, Chris Rose, Scotty B, Scott Bonder, our entire crew over there, Serge Singh, who is fantastic, and just a great crew of NBA analysts. And I'll be joining them as soon as the NFL season's done, and I'll be doing the NBA, a lot of NBA betting at that time. It's 50% off right now, the upgrade. So that's for VIP Platinum. VIP Platinum, no matter what your membership service level is, if you've got All In, you've got Only Baseball, maybe at Only Football, whatever, 50% off the upgrade to VIP Platinum. That gets you all the data. Smash reports, cornerback matchup charts, coverage matchups, offensive lines, defensive lines, all our data, all our betting data in there for all sports, NHL, NFL, NBA, baseball, all of it. You get access to the training camps that we do for baseball and for football, Elite Plus podcasts, live streams, full Discord, everything on that. And it's 50% off the upgrade charge. Whatever you've paid already counts toward that VIP Platinum. So hit us up at support@fantasyguru.com over there. Follow me on social media at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, the Jeff Manns everywhere else, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and on TikTok. So it's Thanksgiving week. I want to wish everybody happy holiday. Hopefully you're enjoying it. or have already enjoyed it. If it's over, I'll give you some. I'll do my bets in Survivor like I normally do. I'll give you a Thursday game in case you're one of the early birds and get down the podcast early. I'll give you a Sunday game that I'm looking at here as well. Also, though, want to discuss last week. There's a lot going on in and around football. As always, on the Thanksgiving episode of this program, I will disclose what I'm thankful for and go around the room with that, talk a little bit. This is a personal podcast. This is a very uncensored. I don't have to, there's no marks I have to hit in this show. I could talk about whatever, and I think it's important. This time of year, holidays are important to me for a number of reasons. It, to me, you know, the sort of the Christmas season, to me, it's always been a snapshot of the year, where we're at that time. You know, you may like Santa, not like Santa. You might like Christmas movies or shows or music, or you may not. But whatever it is, it's just this season that gives you that snapshot at where you were in the world at this time this year. And for Thanksgiving, I think Thanksgiving is a very important holiday just to zoom out and look at, be thankful. You have to be thankful, folks. There's a lot of anger in the world. There's a lot of anxiety. I had a gentleman, like moments before recording this, I'm responding to a gentleman on social media. He didn't even hit me up originally. He hit like Ray Flowers up and he's all mad. He said, oh, you're lying about the core four. The core four did not hit 54%. You lied about that. And it's like, okay, number one, no, I'm not. No, I didn't. Why do people just think like you're lying and it's not right? You know, it's just fucking weird to me that people jump to this. Number one, I never said 54, I said 51. All right. Number two, your math, the gentleman's math was wrong on the numbers, right? He was off by about 4.5 points on what the core four scored. Okay. And then he also was 2 points off on the pay line, right? But the whole point of it is this guy's tilting. I'm guessing he didn't even tell me he'd won or lost in DFS, but he's trying to shit on like the core four, no matter what, even by the numbers that this guy said, even those numbers, which are off by, you know, roughly about 6 point swing, you're still well over the 42%, 44% margin that we're looking for out of the core four. That's what we're looking for. Even with that, it doesn't matter, but you just want to be angry. And that's the thing. I want to reach as many of you as I can with that. Can you just stop forcing the anger? I get mad like everybody. You know, I blow up. I scream and yell on this show, on Elite Sports, in Discord. I get it. I'm we're all the same. But at some point, this week's a good time. Can you just relax? Can you try to not nitpick or tear somebody down just because you're feeling some sort of emotion? Is it fucking possible? Like, crazy to me that people would, it's outlandish. My dad served in the Korean War, right? And I could only imagine, like, nowadays, he died in 1999, and it'd be amazing to tell him, yeah, I had a bad day at work today. He's like, oh, what, you know, what happened? Boss getting on you. Like, no, an asshole on Twitter who can't do math well says that my assistance to him failed when it didn't, even according to his math, which was also wrong. My dad would fucking slap me into oblivion. Never mind anybody else acting like, he would be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And he'd be right. What's wrong with us? What I'm thankful for, let's talk about that. I'm thankful for a lot of things, you know, obviously family, friends. I'm thankful another person on the flip side of that. I'll talk about something positive. Somebody in the Man's Cave Discord room over at fantasyguru.com this week said, you know, just want to tell you guys that what's important, most important, I just upgraded my sub and I joined a couple of years ago, but now I've expanded and my membership, and it's unbelievable how much help I get from the community, from the membership. It's great coming into Discord at any time, being able to talk to Jeff Manns, Ted Schuster, Ray Flowers, Armando Marsal, and Tyler Beaker, Russell Clay, you know, and all of our very talented, great team, Justin Fensterman and, you know, everybody. It's like, it's amazing. And even the fellow members help out. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck. He's right. He's right. The community that we have over at fantasyguru.com is really, are there some people just like on social that just want to hate? I had a guy last Friday telling, I forgot what he told me. I gave him the opportunity. He was obviously trolling me for something. I go, what's your problem? You know, let's talk about it. It's 2:30 in the morning. You're obviously on one tonight. So let's, and he couldn't even tell me what was wrong. Just complaining. Nothing specific, nothing, just, and it's like, yeah, you're just unhappy. So yeah, that happens from time to time. But for the most part, man, this community is just great. And I really am appreciative of all of you for that. I'm appreciative of my team over at Fantasy Guru and all the guys I've already mentioned and the people like Phil and Sandro, who I get to work with on a regular basis on Sirius XM and Jacob, our program director, who's incredibly supportive of us and our work and what we're trying to do. And it's just a really good thing. My family, obviously, this has been a tough year for my family. For those who don't know, my daughter had emergency surgery back in late March for a pulmonary embolism. She was in the hospital for 3 weeks and was in really bad shape for a while. She's gotten back and on her feet, and she's in law school right now. You know, she had graduated college last year, or she graduated actually. She finished her final year of undergrad school while she was in the hospital, right? With the embolism, with blood clots and issues everywhere. Like, this is a tough year for us and our family, and probably why I've been on, you know, sort of high alert and on guard so much. I'm the protector, and it's something that's happened this year. And I'm very thankful for the health of them and being able to share these holidays with them again. And, you know, for those of us with older kids, you realize, like, shit, this time's short. Goes so fast. And, you know, we bitch and complain when they're 6 or 3, 5, 7, 9 or whatever. And, you know, it's tough to clean up and keep them going and get schoolwork and all this. But then by the time you know it, they're out of the house and they have their own lives. And, you know, my daughters have Friendsgivings everywhere and stuff. It's like, it's heartbreaking too in a way, because you kind of lose that. You lose that family, and you realize that stress and that time that used to bog you down is actually what you miss the most. It's one of those things they don't tell you early in life. Nobody ever tells you when you're through it. Those of you with small kids, just fucking savor it. Please, please do that for me. If you get nothing from football or basketball or any sports or anything sports related that I cover, just that part of it. Remember just to absorb like a sponge the moments, even the ones that drive you crazy, even the monster stressful ones, cleaning up after them, you know, teaching them, telling them to get down when they disobey, even when you have to punish them or, you know, whatever, ground them because schoolwork or something. Like, those are the best of times, and you'll miss the ever loving hell out of them when it's gone. Trust me that you will. And the struggles and the financial drain, by the way, the financial drain is nothing compared to what it'll be when they're in college. Nothing. I still tell my kids, do a Christmas list, except now it's like, yeah, I need gasoline. I need fucking, you know, all tuition bills and fucking, you know, $250 haircuts and styling. It's like, holy shit. Yeah, I just like buying like the High School Musical dolls or Barbie dolls and things like that back in the, or the Monster High dolls my girls were into. That I miss those days. Like, oh, that was a lot easier. You know, a lot more rewarding when they opened up that doll that they loved compared to, oh, you paid my gas, but who gives a shit? Because it just burned it off anyway. I need a new tank next week. You know, but it's a different thing. So, you know, cherish that. I'm thankful for all of you. This podcast, when my daughter was, I had to take like a month off of this podcast earlier this year. And when we did it, you know, the way these shows and episodes go, is like they deteriorate because no new episodes, there's no new downloads. Eventually, you know, you become unsubscribed from the podcast. It's not auto downloaded for you. Obviously, no new content for those of you to go and seek. And thus our numbers went way down. And I kind of learned at that time too, something I've learned this year, that a lot of this is bullshit, you know. And what I mean by a lot of it is, like, the fantasy industry, it's a good industry, but, you know, people really can't wait to tear you down. And like with the podcast, my numbers fell apart. You know, I think we have 12,000 or so downloads or whatever it is normally. It went down like 2 when I started the show back up, right? I mean, deteriorate. And of course, all the sponsor, all the people that loved it, they don't even think like, hey, oh, it's sort of the football off season, it's the downtime, this guy just went through it. No, they just said, nah, fuck you. We're not sponsoring, we're not doing that. So fuck them. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, we have no faith in you. And again, our numbers went right back up, thanks to all of you listening and all that. And it's just, but they don't care. You know, it's, there's no, like, I guess people don't give a shit about me, is what I learned. You know, they don't give a shit. It's just a business. What can I, they care about what I could do for them, which is, it's fine when it's a customer and all that. In a business relationship, it's different because you are asking me to endorse your product, to try out your product, to do that, you know. And I've become extremely sensitive to any company or business that I now associate myself with, right? Real. And I did an emergency press conference over at fantasyguru.com about that, about a betting company that tried to tell me they wouldn't, we were going to do a deal with Fantasy Guru and we were all set to unveil it last week. And turns out I sent in my first bet. They were going to do featured bets on their app and everything. And they said, I don't like this bet. It's not a marketable enough player. The player's not marketable enough. Can you come up with a different player? They literally wrote, I have it on a screenshot. They wrote, we really don't want to endorse plus EV equal value plays. We want marketable players and teams that get people excited. Do you hear what that was? Do you know what that means? We don't want good plays. We want popular plays. We don't want, they said the part that I've known for a while and realized a while ago. They said it out loud directly to me. We don't want low-end guys who are going to win and be profitable to our clients and our customers. We want you just to fan the flames, tell them to bet a bunch of bullshit. Everybody's going to want to bet fucking, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. They don't want Rasheed Rice. They don't want. They're not interested. Kyle Phillips or Justice Hill or, you know, players that are in good spots. They don't want that. They just want, in other words, it's not enough that they take rake from your bets. They want to take all of your money too. And they said it directly. And I just obviously had to say, that's not what I'm doing. I will never do that. I will never in a fucking billion years, never in a billion years in my life will I take money. And again, I wasn't directly benefiting. With one thing I didn't bring up on the Discord, I probably should have, is that deals like this from business to business with, you know, Fantasy Guru and the things that I do on that end of it, that helps keep all of our team paid. The Armandos, the Tylers, Ted and Ray and the great Fensty, bringing him over. And like, that's what that does. Making sure our guys get paid. Right? It is nothing to do with extra money for me. I don't make a fucking nickel. Not a nickel. I make less money now than I did in 2017. Let's be clear, from my business standpoint, I take less money than I did there. right? I make less than I did 6, 7 years ago. How many of you have given away pay over 7 years with the rising cost of everything? Well, I have. And again, I do it happily because I believe in the team. I believe in the people we have. But again, that's something I don't benefit directly. That's something that helps keep our membership prices down. It helps bring in more people, more assistance for our members, provide more jobs to everybody else. But they don't give a fuck. You know, our daughter has a pulmonary embolism. Yeah, but your podcast numbers are down. You want to bet on a random player because you think it's the right thing to do. Fuck you. We don't want your members to win. We just want them to bet. And they'll bet more if it's on Travis Kelce or somewhere else. Well, then I just turn around and say, fuck you right back. So that's what the Elite Mafia is. And that's shit that I'm going through. But try to keep it upbeat, I suppose. Let's keep it upbeat. Let's end on, I have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about Joe Burrow's injury, talk about quarterbacks in the hot seat. I got, you know, some Russell Wilson thoughts I want to get to here today as well. So all of that. Thanksgiving reminds me, I've told the story before, it always reminds me of my Uncle Ed. Rest in peace, Uncle Ed, who he was, talk about my family a little bit. When I've done this before, but a reminder, of course, just so you guys maybe see where I come from and you understand the chip that's on my shoulder. I'm the youngest of five children. My nearest sibling was 12 years older. My brother is 19 years older than me, my oldest brother. So I was very much an afterthought. Parents were, again, by the time I was 13 years old, my dad had cancer. He was dead by the time I was 21 after a long battle with that. Mom passed away in 2011, but was very sick for a number of years. I have a disabled brother I have to take care of who lives out by me here in Arizona and that I'm the primary caregiver for and all that, right? And so it's a little bit about my history, but my Uncle Ed, so my family is very poor growing up, like extreme, whatever you could imagine, like not 2023 poor. I was 1978 poor. Jimmy Carter poor. That was fucking, yeah, we were real poor. Like my dad would steal gas out of the neighbor, like down the street. If a strange car was parked, he would siphon gas to fill it, like fucking just straight up. That's what it was. Mom drove a bus. My dad was in the grocery business for years and years and everything. So, you know, family doesn't come from much. My mom, my dad's side, I never met, never really knew any of them. Still to this day, don't know anything. There's a couple living members on my dad's side, and we don't have never had any contact since I've been alive. You know, bunch of family drama and shit on that side that's just crazy. But my mom's side was a little more well off, and growing up I always looked at my mom's side of the family like, oh, they're the rich ones, because that's how my mom and dad portrayed it. I learned later on in life, when I, as a 19 year old, you know, 2 months after my dad died, 19 year old that had to handle my grandmother's estate because my mom was too shaken. She was broken and depressed because my dad had just died. Then her mom just died 2 months after that, that I had to handle that entire estate. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing or anything else. I realized my grandmother's entire net worth was like $40,000. And like there was fights with my mom and her sister over the inheritance and all this bullshit that happened. But the thing that was, that I always gravitated to was my Uncle Ed, who, my Uncle Ed, we didn't talk to him much during the year, very much. Him and my mom would go out to dinner. He'd take my mom or my mom and dad out to dinner occasionally and things like that. But he was a very well-off guy. He was in the insurance. He was like insurance business for like unions and stuff like that. But he was like an actuary with it. Like he was the numbers guy. And he did very well. Lived in a nice house. He lived by White Sox players like Eric Soderholm, lived across the street from him and shit, like Eric Soderholm, 1977 Southside Hitman team. And you know what I mean? Like my uncle was and for the holidays and specifically for Thanksgiving, he would have everybody over. And what I loved about my uncle is that, you know, for one, it's a different time, but children were to be seen and not heard. So like me and my nephews, we would just be banished to the basement. But the basement had fucking ping pong table, pool table, TVs, TV stereo, weightlifting stuff, all kinds of games and shit. It was just, it was like Disneyland, right? So we didn't mind being banished there. But as I got older, the thing I realized about what my uncle did, it was the one holiday and everybody got along and it was always a good time. It was never a big problem on Thanksgiving. Christmases and New Year's and other Easter, always somebody in the family fighting. And one of the things I realized is what my uncle did is he just took care of everything. Nobody brought food. Nobody gave money. Nobody had to do anything. He had all the food. He would purchase the turkey, the multiple turkeys and pies and everything from a restaurant by his house. He'd have it all like catered, all the food and drink and beer and booze and everything for everybody. Like everybody, nobody had to worry about anything. Tons of room. The adults would play cards. The kids were downstairs out of everybody's hair. And he made that happen. I didn't, you know, realize until I was older and to my adult years that, wow, he just does all this, right? That's a leader. Just kind of took care of everybody. Nobody had to worry. Nobody had to do anything. And it made for just a marvelous holiday. Everybody got leftovers. He didn't like keep the leftovers or ration them out. What do you want? Some pie? You get some pie. You want a green bean? You want some turkey? What do you need? Everybody got what they need. Everybody. And everybody was welcome. There was no segmentation. You know, today's day and age, probably, oh, our Republican relative or Democratic relative or, you know, no, none of that. None of that. And everybody showed respect to him. And for his home and everything else. And it's just this time of year. And, you know, he passed away a few years ago. He was ill for a while before that. He basically had seen him twice since my mom passed away in 2011. Then, of course, you know, I moved out to Arizona and he passed away, I believe, 2018. And just this time of year always reminds me of him. And, you know, it's just a wonderful man. I think we all need to be more like Uncle Ed. Just take leadership roles. Be a leader, take care of people, especially those who are less fortunate or unfortunate, you know, things like that. Like, just take care of it. You notice he never was part of the fighting with my mom and her sister about the inheritance. He didn't want a dime. And when the time came, he helped me with the thing. He did basically it, but I was like, to go between my mom and her aunt and my aunt and my uncle just like, and he didn't take a dime, not a dime. You know, in fact, you know, he passed away or when my mom, grandma passed away, who lived with us, by the way. I lost my dad and grandma 2 months apart. My dad in November, my grandma in early January, right around this holiday season. Another reason to always hold it close to your vest. And he's like, no, I'll take care of all this. I got everything. You take care of your mother. That's what he kept telling me. Take care of your mother. Okay. Got it. You know, and I think that's. Those are important lessons to learn. It was important for young Jeff Mance to learn. That's for damn sure. So, yeah, that's sort of what Thanksgiving means to me and sort of my backstory on a lot of it. All right, we'll pick it up. Let's talk football here for everybody. Some results for last week. Since football is going to come so quickly, by the time you're listening to us, maybe it's on Black Friday. We may have four games in the tank. Let me review some things. Couple of things. Everything's working out. It has been last week I went through, is this a harder game this year than it has been in the past, right? Is it more difficult now than it was? And then we concluded pretty easily that no, it's not. It's just different. And we have to adjust. And that's what I've been trying to do for the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. Adjust. I've had seasonal teams. I have a team that was 4-0. When my least problem, it was an FFPC team, 4-0, run it, just fucking dynamite team. And that team has Alvin Kamara, who's just coming back at that time, and everything's looking good. I am now 5-6 And basically, after last week, just done. Like, I'm not going to make the playoffs in the that one. And it's like, okay. And I've had others that were 0-4 or 1-3, who now I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right, I'm 7-4, in great shape. You know, 7-4, 6-5, and those teams look a lot better. So the season, every week is a new season. Essentially, you can't get too high, you can't get too down, because things are going to turn itself around. And we're seeing that with betting after a 3-week downturn. Again, I don't have my record in front of me. But I know I was at one point 18 games under 500. I sit here after the last week and a half, 2 weeks, essentially, since I started doing the bet bar, and I'm 10 games under. So I'm 8 games over in the last week and a half. And I know exactly where I'm targeting and how I'm betting now. Like, I figured that it's much like last year. I figured out with the single game parlays, assume that would be it this year as well, that those haven't worked out. So we adjust. DFS, it was a grind. I remember, I think we were 4-4, right? After 8 weeks. And it was like, okay, well, you know, 500 is not good when you have to pay rake, of course, right? But now you sit here and we're 7-4, 3 weeks in a row, win. It's like, pretty good. Feeling pretty fucking good. And, and the profits, now you start seeing it and your account totals and everything else. And again, we've got a long way to go. We've got 12 more weeks of this NFL season, and we got individual and holiday slates and everything else. So I'm happy about that. Let me throw this out to you. I'm going to name a couple of teams here. The Detroit Lions are 8-2. Okay. Tell me what these teams have in common. 8-2 Detroit Lions. 7-3 San Francisco 49ers. 7-3 Cleveland Browns. 7-3 Dallas Cowboys. 7-3 Miami Dolphins. 7-3 Jacksonville Jaguars. 6-4 Pittsburgh Steelers. 6-4 Seattle Seahawks. Lions, 49ers, Cowboys, Jaguars, Browns, Dolphins, Steelers, Seahawks. What do they have in common? Anybody know?
I don't know. Good team.
None of them have a franchise quarterback.
Oh, Dak Prescott.
No. Dak is a good quarterback. I know he's paid like a franchise. That's a Cowboy problem. You're the quarterback of the Cowboys. You're going to be paid like you're a superstar regardless. That just goes with the territory. Jared Goff, Watson's not even been there. Trevor Lawrence is not a franchise quarterback. He's not the best part of that team, the defenses. Tua's playing well. But he's what I'm saying to you is, where's Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes? Mahomes doing all right. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, of course. Jalen Hurts, him and Mahomes are doing what they do. Right. That was a good game, even though, like, Monday Night Football this past week with the Eagles and the Chiefs, the Eagles outplayed them by a mile and barely won that game. You know, so take that for what it's worth. But these are not these teams, none of them are winning because of their quarterback. And in cases like the Steelers, Browns, specifically Seahawks, they're winning in spite of the quarterback. They're not even getting decent quarterback play. They are literally getting bad, poor play at the most important position in the world, and they're still highly profitable and winning and all that. So what difference does that make? Here's why it's different. You can build different fantasy teams. You can win championships with a different type of team. There is too much optimization going on in our world and in our, specifically in fantasy and in sports too. It leads to bad decisions. Decisions, though, that you think are good because others have won that way. We're trying to do the things that everybody else did. Well, when every person, we have too much access to information. When everybody decides this is the best road to take, what happens to that road? That road gets congested and clogged. We all sit in traffic. We're all stagnant. Just because this is a problem, honestly, in best ball conversation, and I'm guilty as anybody. I talk about the optimal roster breakdown, the optimal everything else. If we're all doing the same exact thing because that's optimal, it's obviously becomes not optimal. Or that optimization, that being optimal isn't really true because we all did the same thing anyway. So, of course, 100, you know, you have no chance of any team.
If you have to draft six running backs so that you won't win.
Well, if every team in your league drafts six running backs and that obviously wins, it has 100% success rate. But that's not, doesn't mean you have to. It just means everybody does. Like the going for two conversation in the NFL. These aren't really optimal calls. You can build teams differently. And I urge you next year, the rest of this season, playoff fantasy football leagues, by the way, full coverage at fantasyguru.com. Rankings and projections, weekly ranking, the whole deal just for playoffs. We have contest types and we'll do our own leagues and it'll be a lot of fun. We will go into, you'll go into that, the DFS season, the betting season, do things just like the bet. They're telling us, the sports book told us, don't do the right thing. Do the popular thing. It's what we're all doing. That's why there's so many lineup trains. Nobody trusts themselves. Nobody believes in themselves. Fuck, I see my own people on a weekly basis. What did I lose? And I see their team, that Devon Achane. And I'm like, what the fuck told you Devon Achane? Wasn't me.
Somebody else on the team.
I could. Then go tell them. I didn't say it. Not going to be accountable for, and again, I don't mind Achane. I'm just saying, like, it's not my thing. I didn't do that. I never told you to do that. But if you're taking pieces from all over, like, okay. You're just spinning around in circles that way. My analysis is designed for people to win or to fail on their own terms, to fail the right way, to fail in a way that they had a chance. There was clear road ahead, but they got a flat tire. That's a lot better than just sitting in traffic with a fully, you have a fucking V8 5.0 liter engine, fucking 300 horsepower, and you're like, I'm stuck. And you're just sitting idling, pressing the fucking radio station and climate control buttons because you have nothing else to do. I'd rather have the open road ahead. All right. Speaking of which, like, here's a little thing. How about my Broncos, by the way? Yeah, I'm back in. No, I was never out, in fairness, but obviously didn't look good at the start of the season. And the first 3 weeks were horrific. I couldn't believe it. But what a fucking difference. The Denver Broncos, by the way, you know, trivia question. Who's the only team in the National Football League to be on a four-game winning streak into going into week 12? The Broncos. They beat the Packers, Chiefs, Bills, and Vikings. All winning records at the time they played them. Right? They played all of those teams. Their losses have been by 1 point, 2 points, 50 points. If you throw out their week three against the Dolphins, the Broncos are one of the better defenses and offenses in the entire league. Then they lost by 10 points. And then they lost the Chiefs by 9 points. That's it. That's their entire. They could easily, I mean, fucking easily, be 7-3 right now. 7-3 and towards the top of the AFC. And they every game they have: Cleveland, Houston, Chargers, Lions, Patriots, Chargers, Raiders. Every game is winnable for them. Every one of those games. Tough Chargers, Lions. Yeah, absolutely. Tough games. Split against the Chargers. Could beat the NFC team, you know. And Russell Wilson
everybody that said he was washed, everybody said that systems don't matter, needs to be held accountable for this. He is. How about some numbers? You guys like numbers? I like numbers. Here's something. 13 games with Nate Hackett. Russell Wilson's record was 3-10, 59.9% completion percentage, 12 touchdowns in 13 games, by the way. 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 12-9 touchdown interception ratio. 2919 in yardage, 82.6 quarterback rating. Advanced numbers with Nate Hackett, 7.10 yards per attempt, 6.72 average yards per attempt, 5.86 average net yards per attempt for Russell Wilson in Nate Hackett's offense in Denver. 43 rushing attempts, 232 yards rushing, and a touchdown. That's 13 games. Oh, what do you know? He's played 12 games now without Hackett. And I'm being fair by this is the fairest I can make it. Because I could have just gone, oh, he's played 10 games now with Sean Payton. But I did 12 because I wanted to be the fairest of fair. 2 games without Nate Hackett, end of last season. They weren't great games. They were better. Right? 12 games now without Nate Hackett. 67.9 completion percentage. Remember, that was 59.1. His record also was 6-6 without Nate Hackett. It was 3-10 with Nate Hackett. Okay. 67.9 completion percentage, 59.9 without. 23 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, touchdown interception ratio. Remember, that was 12-9. In one more game, he has 11 more touchdowns. All right. And 3 more interceptions in one less game. In one more game, I should say. 2,750 yards. Now, that's technically down, but it's one less game. And if you go on the game basis, it's actually over, right? 250 passing yards per game compared to 248. That one's close. There you go. So a little close with Russ as it pertains to yardage per game, throwing the football. Okay. 102.9 quarterback rating. Remember, 82.6 with Hackett. 7.16 yards per attempt. That's close. But here's where it gets 7.69 average yards per attempt. That was 6.7 under Hackett. Average net yards per attempt, which is a very important. You minus sack yardage. All of that stuff is incorporated to this metric. 6.14 this season. Remember, that was 5.54. Almost a full motherfucking yard better. Russell Wilson, 54 rush attempts, 277 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, all of which are more in less games without him, without Hackett than he did with. What I'm saying is, Russell Wilson is not the MVP candidate guy he was in Seattle circa 2020, when he really, he's really balling out, throwing 4,000 yards, running for 400 yards, throwing for 30 plus touchdowns from 2015 through 2019. He's not that guy anymore. I'm sorry, 2020 had 40 fucking touchdowns. Jesus. He's not that guy. But he definitely isn't the piece of shit that he was a year ago in Nate Hackett's system. And you're wondering why the Jets are replacing Zach Wilson. You're wondering, Nate Hackett is garbage. Everything Sean Payton said was right. Everyone jumped off the boat early on it because Payton was 0-3 and he got waxed by 70 against the Dolphins. And then the Jets beat him and you thought, oh, look, what's happened since? The Jets are in the toilet and the Broncos are on the rise. And there's and the Jets are starting Tim fucking Boyle to try to salvage the season. Newsflash, it's not going to matter. The system sucks. They have no coaching, no help whatsoever. Good coaches get their teams, their players back on track. Bad ones let them wallow. Let's look at this further. What about Geno Smith? Where's the great Geno Smith? Let's look at Geno. Here's an interesting thing with Geno. Now, I went into this open-minded, but I knew, oh my God, Geno's playing much worse this year than he did last year. Well, you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. Geno's 9-8 last year, 64.8% completion percentage, 4,282 yards, 251 per game, 30-11 touchdown interception ratio, 100.9 quarterback rate. All right. Advanced numbers, 7.5 yards per attempt, 7.7 average yards per attempt. Per attempted pass. I'm sorry, yards per completed pass, my bad. 6.54 average net yards per attempt, which, by the way, I mean, that's right there with what Russell Wilson's doing this year. 68 rushing attempts, 366 yards, and one rushing touchdown for Geno last year. Very good. Was mobile, everything else. This year, he's 6-4, solid, 65% completion. That's down 4%. 2,400 yards. It's 240 yards per game. It's 11 less. 12-7 touchdown interception ratio. That's the problem. That not throwing the touchdowns he did a year ago. And he's throwing more interceptions. And that's what we had to expect out of Geno Smith. And that's why we look at some of these advanced numbers to pinpoint, you know, what his number would be, what the expected numbers should be, right? But anyway, 89.7 quarterback rate compared to 100.9 last year. 7.2 average yards per attempt, 7.0 average yards per completion. That is, again, almost a yard less. That's a big deal. 6.1 average net yards per attempt. That's down a half of a yard. Here's the key, though. So all of the numbers aren't that bad. It's not that far off. Obviously, the interception rate is up. The touchdown rate is down. And that we had to know, right? He's not going to have a 5% of all passes thrown touchdown rate. 3.5 that he's at right now is pretty good. I mean, it's solid. It's not good. It's solid. But the interception rate under 2 is extremely good. Over 2.5 where he's at now is more slightly at or below league average. But here's the thing with Geno. 24 rush attempts, 65 total yards, no touchdowns. That's what's killing Geno. Not picking up those extra yards, not getting the rushing yards, not getting extra plays, not keeping drives going. Ultimately, that's the thing that's killing Geno Smith right now. So pleasantly surprised on the Geno side, but I want to be fair. And Russell Wilson is not washed, and Sean Payton is really helping him be the player that we hoped he would be. And from a fantasy standpoint, he's a top 12 fantasy performer this season. Right. And I think he'll be top 10 by the time the season's over. All right. Let's get into a couple other things to discuss. I want to give the bets. I want to give out a Thursday night bet and a Sunday bet. So an FYI Survivor pool. I'm out of the Circa Survivor pool, had Washington last week. So there's only 300 people left in Circa. And, you know, 300 of us were thrown away because of the fucking Washington Commanders. And, you know, expected and disappointing, but I had a bad feeling about it the whole time. You have to make the play. Giants are not good. Washington's not good, but, you know, you had to escape because we had Thanksgiving coming up. We still had Detroit. We still had Kansas City. We still had Philadelphia. We were going to be able to really make some ground. We were going to be able to make a dent in the Survivor pool. And if we could have just survived this week, top 300, things would have got really interesting. But such is life, and no regrets, right? As Meet the Millers would say. So in that spirit, I'm out. But if you're in a circuit contest, obviously you have to play the Cowboys or the Lions. You have to. San Francisco's not bad. But I would rank them as Dallas 1, Detroit 2, San Francisco 3, if you're playing that slate. The rest of the slate, though, is where it was going to get interesting. And that's the problem that I had, because I had fucking Kansas City waiting. I knew what I was doing and was going to be able to attack with Kansas City this week. If you're not in that predicament, you're going to be a lot of trouble, because these are close games. These are tough games. You're going to have to probably wait to Monday Night Football and the Minnesota Vikings. If you don't have Dallas or Detroit or San Francisco, the Minnesota Vikings would be my choice on Monday Night Football. And even that is a dangerous, dangerous operandi. A very dangerous scenario. All right. I don't want to go to Tennessee, even against Carolina. Pittsburgh's intriguing, but until they have not decommitted from Kenny Pickett as of this recording, until that happens, I have a problem with them. So those are the survivor picks for the week. Thanksgiving Day, you know, love this. One of my favorite DFS slates of the year, one of my favorite betting slates of the year as well. A number of things you can do. I think the easiest thing, put some money on the three-leg parlay, Detroit, Dallas, San Francisco money line, right? I think that's probably the best way to attack it. If you wanted to, and that's right now, that's a plus 105 bet, three-way parlay, so you get more than you put in. If you wanted to get, you know, a little bit better of odds in there, maybe you take like the Cowboys minus 2.5, Lions minus 2.5. You know, I think something like that would be worth it, you know, instead of just the money line. You give the house a little bit of points. Those two teams in that order should be able to cover the 2.5-point spread. Detroit's got to play better than they did last week against the Bears, I'll tell you that much. But if you were to do Cowboys minus 2.5, Detroit minus 2.5, and San Francisco just on the money line, that's a plus 120 bet. All right. So, and that's the direction I would go with that. As far as player props for the Sunday game, or I'm sorry, for the Thursday games, you know, Jaden Reed is the guy in Green Bay. Romeo Doubs is a little more fantasy appeal, but until the market gets hip to Jaden Reed, then we're going to have to keep pounding it. I think Jaden Reed right now is over 2.5 receptions, but it's juiced to the max. If you play just 3+ reception, play Detroit in the money line, Jaden Reed 3+ receptions, that's another, it's still a minus like 130. But that's a direction I go for a nice little baseline. Other props that I'm looking at for the early game, I think that one, the Jaden Reed, is my favorite. I think that David Montgomery, anytime touchdown, is a good spot there as well. Jahmyr Gibbs' total yardage makes sense. You can run at fucking will against Green Bay. So another thing you could do, I suppose, here's a good idea. I'm coming up with this one on the spot because I think it's intriguing to me now. And I used this last year. Use the alt rushing lines, right? And if you did alt rushing lines 40+ yards for both Gibbs and Montgomery, you're at plus 120 there. If you did like get, you know, plus or 40+ for Montgomery, but 25+ for Gibbs, you're about, you're minus 140 at that point, but that's super safe. But 40+ rushing yards for both of them, I think that's easy peasy against the Green Bay Packers. For Dallas, the outside receivers. I think the Dallas game against Washington is why I had Darius Slayton this past weekend. I want Brandon Cook. CeeDee Lamb is great. I'm sure he'll eat. However, the X receiver against the Commanders, and that's where you want to be. So for me, and I look at Brandon Cooks with an over 36.5 yardage prop, that's abso-fucking-lutely to me. Right? That's a no-brainer in my world. So I like that bet. On the Washington side, I don't like anything. I really don't like anything on the Washington side. McLaurin should get back and have a much bigger game. It's a much easier. That's a game script was good last week, but I don't know what happened. They couldn't get it going. But like McLaurin, if you want to do his receiving prop, it's what, 57 and a half. I wouldn't go there. Maybe do 50 plus. Combine that one with the like Brandon Cooks 25 plus. There you go. You know, something like that. That'll get you a nice plus 120. That's almost 130, plus 125. Same game parlay. Cooks over 25 yards, McLaurin 50 plus. There you go. There you go. And then in the late game, San Francisco 49ers against Seattle. We'll see what happens with Seattle. As of this, Geno looks like he may start, but it could be Drew Lock, very much could. So I like a couple of things. I like DK Metcalf against the outside coverage of the San Francisco 49ers. No, whether it be Geno or Drew Lock, you attack San Francisco, not on the ground. You know, Charbonnet, I'm going to stay away from Charbonnet. All right, I am. It's too tough of a matchup. And I'd go to DK Metcalf. So give me DK Metcalf. And, you know, I again, like the yardage, alternate yardage props, 50 plus for him. I think is very safe. And then also for you combine that, I want to do like a Debo anytime touchdown here. But I think the other safer thing to do is take George Kittle alt receptions. You want tight ends against Seattle, right? And I think 3+ receptions for Kittle with 50 plus from DK. Boom. And look at that. Again, we're at 120 right there on that bet. So boom. There you go. Some bets for your Thanksgiving festivities, everybody. And then finally, my favorite bet in the on the Sunday games, at the very least. These Sunday games are very tough. There are a lot of 1-point spreads and all that. But that's good because the money line. Picking winners this week is where it's fucking at. All right? That's where it's at. I'm going to pick the Steelers, all right, to win that ball game. Jake Browning ain't it. You lose a lot of luster when you don't have Joe Burrow on that team. So give me the Steelers, and then give me the Denver Broncos again, beating the Cleveland Browns, right? Like both of those bets, just straight up on the money line. And if you did both of those, that's a fine bet them individually, but that is a plus 225, plus 225. But I like both of those bets. Money line Broncos minus 130, Pittsburgh Steelers minus 110. You can't beat that. Boom. Now you know, those are the bets of the week. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this episode. Again, happy holidays to each and every one of you. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, liking, favoriting, commenting. That stuff really means a lot to us and our staff here. Thank you to my producer, Sean Engel, for always doing such a great job with this episode. Best of luck to everybody in week 12. And remember, you may disagree with some or every damn thing you heard on today's show. Perfectly all right. Why? You know why. So it was just one man's opinion. See you next time, everybody. Deuces.